This is the Modern CTO Podcast.
Mike.
Joel, how are you?
Dude, I love talking to you. It's great.
I like the beard. When did that start?
Like February. So I'm like almost eight weeks into it now.
Any reason? Because I'm growing the beard. I shaved the beard off for a long time. I'm growing the beard now working from home. So I want to go back into the office looking like Tom Hanks from Castaway.
Yeah, I love it. You look great. I love the beard.
Yeah, I'm not cutting anything during this social quarantine period.
We're gonna come out looking like cavemen, like big beards down to here.
That's exactly it. I'll hopefully it'll be in time for Halloween. I'll be able to, you know, I can dye the beard and go as like a member of ZZ Top, something like
there
that.
You
know.
So you're at home today?
I'm at home. Yeah, we've been at home for maybe about two and a half. I mean, this is maybe week three. We actually jumped on it a little bit early. Before the recommendations, we didn't encourage to work from home, and just officially today we've told everybody the office is now officially closed.
Oh, so like what's happening? There's like, I wanted to do this like special impromptu episode because I was supposed to be out there. I think, yeah, Thursday and Friday were the days we were supposed to be doing our thing out there. And since we couldn't, thank God we've got awesome products like Zoom and we can connect like this. But like, how did it kind of play out from your perspective?
Well, the first thing that we did was we do four user conferences every year. So we do one in San Diego. We call these our digital velocity conferences. We do one in San Diego. We do one in London. We do one in Tokyo, and we do one down in Sydney. And so our San Diego one is the next one coming up. It's in May, and around early February, when this kind of started coming out, and people were starting to talk about canceling events, and you had the Adobes and the Domos and people like that that decided that their technology events were going virtual. That was when we first started to look at it, and then we made the decision and said we're going to cancel our San Diego event, we're going to cancel our London event, and so that was May, June, respectively. We don't know if we're going to do Australia and Tokyo yet, but those have always been traditionally more in the September, October, November timeframe. So those are tentative now, but San Diego and London, we're going to do as virtual events, which is pretty consistent with what most of the tech companies are doing. But that was sort of the first exercise. And really it was boiling down to, registrants that were paying the registration fee, sponsors, speakers, they were all saying, you know, hey, what do we do if we're going to cancel? Do we get our budget back? You know, yada, 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 all that stuff. And so that caused us to look at it. And that was really the first decision that we made, was that we were going to cancel or pivot our conferences into a virtual conference rather than a live conference. And then it just kind of kept rolling that we saw, you know, it's probably a good idea to encourage working from home. We want everybody to think that if you feel like you have to work from home, first off, if you're feeling at all under the weather, be safe rather than sorry, and just work from home. So we started to encourage that. And then it was, you know, really like I would say 3 weeks ago that our CEO has been very connected to this, and he said, listen, we're going to heavily encourage people to work from home and figure it out. You know, my directive was figure out how to keep, you know, I mean, I have a global team, but I run the engineering team, which is predominantly in San Diego. So we did some quick dancing to try to figure out what to do. I watched a lot of webinars, started reading some books around this, and we've migrated pretty smoothly. I feel actually really good about it.
Yeah, and you know what? So I sent out a newsletter essentially to everybody, asking them like what they're experiencing, like what's going on, what are the big questions, And I'd say a large percentage of the responses were, well, our company's been prepared for this because we're like mostly remote anyways. Or the other interesting one I heard a lot was other parts of the business were pulling heavily on the CTOs to say, how do we take our part of the business and do what you guys already do? Because this, they were already okay with working remote. So they were like, a lot of CTOs told me they were coaching and working with the other department heads on how to, you know, get their employees remote.
And so there's an irony there. So I have the product team and I have the engineering team and I have the customer success team under my my responsibility. The sales team is always largely globally distributed. Our marketing team is primarily based in San Diego, but we have marketing resources in region. Engineering and product are really those two big teams that were mostly in San Diego. So we're launching a second engineering team now in a different location. But the engineering and product teams, which you would mostly think would have been more of the remote performers, because it's hard to find good engineers in one concentrated geo area. Those were the two teams that I was really worried about. When I went to my other teams and said, how are you guys doing? They said, oh, we're fine. We're used to running remote. We already are global teams. And so it was pretty easy, because the team that I worry about were engineers, and these are, you know, tech savvy, gadget friendly people anyway. So I think it's been a really easy transition.
So one thing I tend to be a pretty positive person. I spend a lot of time in the area of, you know, self-improvement and trying to grow, largely because there's a huge part of my life where I didn't. And then I figured out, if you focus on this stuff and you work at it, you can actually improve your quality of life. And when we've got, you know, I think a lot of people in the past 5-10 years have found it easy to get away from like the news, because we have all of these streaming services and we can just pay, we don't have commercials, it's great. And so we've kind of gotten off that that news cycle. But then I noticed that when the epidemic is happening, like, it's so easy to slip right back into that 24/7 and get that fear feed coming at you. And so how do you approach like keeping the team positive when that's like a new thing to contend with?
So the first thing that we went through was, I try to make sure that when we're starting to do, well, first let me back up and say, as a remote person, I mean, and you'd imagine I'm fairly talkative when it comes to the conversations that we have, even in any sort of group setting. I've realized that being remote is creates an unlevel playing field. And when you have these meetings where you have 8 people sitting in a conference room and 1 or 2 people that are remote on a Zoom, it's an unfair communication playing field. And so immediately the first thing I decided was, if to be that one guy that's remote when there's a room of seven or other people in the room, and you're a guy like me that wants to talk a lot, this is torture. So my new policy on this is, if any single person is remote in a meeting, we're all remote. We're not going to work in conference rooms and have 90% of the people in a conference room and one person remote. We're all going to work from our desks, and we're all going to be on Zoom or whatever, Google Hangout, whatever we choose to use. So I want to do that to up-level the playing field so that everybody has the communication, and somebody could be like, hey, you know, I want to talk. I'm introducing that. That's going to be something that is just a policy of mine going forward. In these times, I try to make sure that we spend the first 5 or maybe 10 minutes of every meeting now just socializing. You know, I want to talk to people about how they're doing. I want to tell them interesting stories. I'm constantly trying to think about funny stories that, you know, even if I have to embellish to make them funny, to get my employees laughing. You know, my latest one is, I woke, and this is actually a very true story, I don't have to embellish this. I woke up yesterday with what I thought was an incredible fever. I was burning up all over, and I thought, oh man, I've got the virus. I don't know how, but I've got the virus. then I realized one of my dogs had stepped on the power button to my electric mattress pad cover, and I had just been heated up in bed. And so I woke up sweaty, think I had a massive fever, and it turns out I was just being overheated out of my bed. But I'm trying to be human around that, and I'm trying to lighten people up. We've created a whole slew of Slack channels around just tips channels for parents with kids that are having to homeschool, people with pets, entertainment, books, movies, things like that. We created all these, and we're just trying to get this sort of social exchange where I've seen pictures of, I mean, I've been in the office with all these people for years, never seen their animals, never seen their kids. Now I'm inundated with pictures of my employees' pets and their kids, and I'm telling them to embrace it. And if your dog barks in the background, awesome. See if you can get him in the screen. And if your kids come in and ask you a question, introduce him to us, whatever it is. But I'm trying to get people to embrace that we're doing the right thing by this social separation, and kids and snacking and maybe even a late afternoon rosé go along for the ride in all of this.
Yeah, it's amazing how like it's allowing us to be a little more human. Yeah. Which is, it's pretty interesting. It's just, life is beautiful in that way, because with great, you know, it's like the equal and opposite thing. There's bad and then there's good. And so like I've just spent a lot of time training myself to figure out like, what's the opportunity here? Like, for example, our sales stuff, right? Because we sell something that, you know, it's leadership training, right?
Right.
And so we were looking at that and we were saying, all right, well, what do we do? And I said, well, look, companies like Zoom are growing massively. There's companies that are in healthcare that are doing the best they've ever done. I was like, our solution is a valid solution in the market. Like, when people aren't doing fear stuff and their company is growing, they like our solution. Like, you guys are a customer. Like, yeah. it's a useful thing. And so we just need to redirect our attention to just focusing on those accounts. Like, let's make sure our new outreach is the people who are profiting and growing over these next 4 months, and we don't even have a problem. And that's all perspective, because I could equally have said, no one's gonna buy, let's just like curl up and die. And it's like, absolutely not.
Yeah,
there are people out there, and you just have to focus on those. And the same for your business. Like, somebody's gonna be doing really well, and there's gonna be markets for you that open up that didn't exist before.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And the other thing too is the you know, I mean, just based on the training and the education and the service you guys provide, which again, like you said, we are a customer. Now you've got companies that may not be strongly rooted in how to manage people remote and how to have difficult conversations with them remote. So you've got a whole new line of content that's focused around the remote, you know, now it's remote leader bits that is, you know, or the social distance leader, right? I mean, there's a whole new line of content that you guys can provide. And I agree. I'm, you know, I'm probably naturally, or I'll say historically, more of a negative person, but I've been, this last year and a half, I've been trying to be much more positive. And quite honestly, this being more human and not feeling, I mean, I've been doing Telium. I just hit my 12-year anniversary with Telium. Ooh. and that's a big chunk of my life dedicated to this.
It's like a kid.
It's yes. And it's 12 is not a good age for a kid either. That's a difficult time, but the idea is, you know, I don't want to always feel like I have to go into the office 5 days a week. And I spend a lot of my time when I'm in the office communicating with people and coaching and helping them vet ideas and helping them grow and expand their careers. I'm actually very much looking forward to this forced initiative, because I'd love to be working from home 1 to 2, maybe even 3 days a week in the future, and to know that I know how to do it.
And I'm optimistic about the economy too, because like we were growing 30% a month, right? Yeah. Like there's nothing wrong with the underlying nature of the economy.
Right. Right.
It's all psychology and fear of uncertainty. It's like people are scared of the uncertainty, but that's not like we have an actual bottom line problem in our economy. Those are like two very, very different things. So I'm looking at this. I'm like, look, some people are going to freak out for a couple months. People are going to put pauses on stuff. And that's how people have been. They're like, oh, we're just going to put a pause on this because, you know, we need to put a pause. And then what's going to happen is everything's going to work out.
Yeah.
You know, the government's going to, I mean, we're all in this together. Like there's a reason why they open up and they do the stimulus efforts and stuff. And they're doing it in every single country in the world. It's because like, we all need the economy to do well.
Yeah.
And so it's just going to be a little bit of fear. Couple months, and I'm watching. I'm pretty familiar with China because my sister lived there for like 5 years, and so I've been watching China a lot. And dude, they're all like posting articles about how their life's back to normal, and they're fishing in ponds, and like they're so glad the thing's over, and there's like no new cases, and it's like they're all joyful over there. And I was like, all right, well that was that was like a 2 month thing. As long as the rest of the world's not like hold my beer. You know,
right. Can I have a sip? You know,
watch us do 4 months, 2 months, 3 months, you know,
yeah,
we don't want that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think everybody wants to get back to better, you know?
You know, I think they do, but I think the other side of it is we're challenging people to be more innovative in other areas. I mean, washing your hands is not a bad thing. We're probably a little bit, you have those people that you look at that are say, oh man, you're a germaphobe. You always wash your hands. Now he's the cool kid. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's not a bad idea. Hygiene is a good thing. And you know, the other thing is we definitely have we have kind of an exercise challenge here I think probably worldwide, but predominantly in the US, and I see that home gym equipment and dumbbells and things like that are becoming there. It's a hot market for that right now. And people are looking at in-home exercise systems. So I there's just good stuff going on. You know, the internet companies are living up to the challenge. I haven't seen the internet breakdown that people were worried that Netflix was going to cause. I mean, I think we're working on new skills, and I think it's good for us.
Yeah, like the Peloton came out with special offers, and like all, you know, I use this one guy's workout, like Jeremy Ether, I think is how you say his name. He's a YouTube guy.
Yeah.
And I normally do his like gym workouts, and he's put a special like at home one for people that didn't like have full of gym equipment. And then like the group that I'm a part of, I don't use Facebook like much at all, but I do go check this workout group that I'm a part of, and like everyone's posting like their different pictures, and it's really fueled. Like in our Slack channel, we're sharing memes, we're talking. Yeah. Like it's odd how the forced we were forced to go distributed, and we're coming closer together. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. And my employee and my team leaders have been pretty fantastic so far. I'm really lucky. They've, you know, just seeing, you know, it's odd because I'll walk around the office with people, but you just don't get to see the human side of people because you say hi or bye, but when you see somebody write a post and talk about how this movie is really great and people that are interested in this should watch it, people are just we feel like we're in it together, and it's a great being a facilitator for that is a great feeling for me.
What are you guys noticing with like your customers? How are your customers responding? Are they like, is everyone still holding, or are people communicating and saying we're gonna like put holds on stuff? Like what are you noticing as far as how other companies are reacting with their budgets?
It's definitely a mixed bag. When you get into the airlines and the cruise lines and the hotels, they are definitely okay. Hold on. We need to slow down, but we know that this is going to swing back. And, you know, I mean, if you ask me, I think, I think cruise lines is maybe taking a little bit of a devastating blow. I think that one's going to take a long time to get back. I think that the shorter that this goes on, I mean, honestly, if I was an airline and I was a hotel, I would be doing so much marketing for social separation and being conscientious to be at home, because the more time that goes on with this, the better that people get doing virtual meetings and doing remote. I mean, I was just on a 2-hour sales meeting this morning. And we probably had 35 people on the meeting all over a Zoom. The more time that goes on with us figuring out the virtualized nature of this, the less I'm going to travel to go on site to see my prospects and to see my customers, because it's just going to be so easy to pop on a Zoom and do it with them. And so if I were an airline, I'd be spending my money on social, you know, social distancing and trying to get them to be conscientious, because I want to get the business back. I think that business travelers, I don't know what the percentage is, but I think business travel will see a longer term reduction by a certain percentage. I don't know. I don't think it's 50. I don't think it's 80, but I think it's going to be 5 to 10 at least. And that's going to hurt the hotels. It's going to hurt the airlines. But then on the other side, you know, there are companies that are media companies, obviously doing very, very well. Some of the, you know, grocery chains, things like that, they're doing more home delivery. Restaurants, they're having to be more innovative about it. I have companies that are very big e-commerce, you know, multi-brand companies, and also have big store presence. They're kind of doubling down. They're realizing that the future for them is going to be e-commerce. And so they're thinking about letting their point of sales, you know, geolocations fall by the wayside gradually while they strengthen their e-commerce chops. And those are great things for me. Those are great things for Telium. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I didn't think about it. Yeah, I've seen a lot of the in-store companies. I read one case study in China about a makeup company that shut a bunch of like 1,000+ of its locations and then like increased its sales by 200% just by focusing all its energy on social media. And
yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly true. And I mean, from a margin perspective, it's significant. And so with that, I think that one of the big conversations I just had this morning was the largest use case for a very large financial serve insurance type company. The word is digital adoption, right? They want to know how many people are calling into their call centers so they can deflect that to digital adoption. And it's brilliant. It's the right strategy for them to do, because that stuff has a lot of cost, but that's their focus now in companies now in 2020, into 2021, it's the digital adoption is going to be a very popular phrase with a lot of companies out there.
Digital adoption.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how do I get people for the Wells Fargo's and the Bank of America? If I can reduce the number of people going into my physical locations down by 10%, and to get those people doing it over a mobile app or over the website, it's huge gains for them. And now in the context of privacy and some of these kind of, I don't want to say I'm looking for a word, but just around sort of the disease, and disease exchange. Those are positive things to have fewer people going to their branches.
Yeah, I actually had to go in because like they don't let you mobile deposit certain size checks. You have to go in. And when I went in, they said, yeah, because of this, we actually just today increased the business mobile deposit I think it was like $25,000 or $50,000 a day.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Because before it was like 5 or 10. And I was like, that's so much better, because like now I don't have to come in. I can just do exactly what I'm doing with the other checks. And so I thought that was a pretty good move. I think that's something that's really smart. But there's really not a reason to go into a bank location anymore.
Maybe for notary services, something like that. You've got to sign something over for your account or things like that. But yeah, it's going to become the exception case. I by the way, just to interject, I love the high roller plug that you just did there, right? That was awesome. Like, yeah, you know, I have to go into branches because there's only a limit. There's a limit to the amount of checks that you can cash online, so I have to go in. Love it, love it. You know,
I love it. It's I scripted that last night too. No, I was with my wife though, and I was like, I guess we gotta like go in.
Yeah. No, and it's, and you know what it's going to be is it's that the reality is when you get into these services organizations and understanding what customers want, the idea is that I'm going to do some of the mundane stuff like balance checks and verify bill pay and verify my, you know, verify the last cleared payments and credit card bills. I'm going to do all that stuff online because that's relatively mundane. When I do go into the bank, it's because I need something. And now we're back to, you know, what the US is, which is really a services, you know, we're a services industry. And so the idea is that now when I walk in that door, I want those people behind the counter to know really why I'm there. What I was doing on my mobile app, what I was doing on the website or even in the call center before I came in there, I must be there for a reason. And now I have the ability to get a rich and relevant customer experience from that person. And that's, you know, that's again, it's a nice place to be. It's got that human effect and it's got that human value effect to it. So there's a lot of opportunity for people that want to look on the bright side of things and say, hey, this is where we're going. I can embrace it and make it better.
Yeah. We actually got two new leads that came in this week because, they're global companies and their leadership conference that they were doing, they were taking everybody to like one place for leadership conference got canceled. Yeah. Like, well, now we have this budget. What do we do? And I was like, we can help with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Write me a big check. I can cash it because I go in the bank.
Yeah. I can go to the bank. Yeah. I can take it into the bank. Now I can mobile deposit because they've looked at the limits.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny. Show up at the bank. Oh no, man, dude, I love talking to you. This is
we got to do this more often. I'm pumped up. I'm energetic. I'm energized now. It's good. It is definitely good. I was looking forward to you guys coming out to San Diego. And we'll definitely have to reschedule that, but yeah, I do. I look forward to, I always look forward to chatting with you.
Yeah, it was interesting. So it was leading up to it, right? Everybody knew about the stuff and I was talking with my parents. So my brother and stepmom, both physicians, and they're like, yeah, this was a couple weeks ago. They're like, yeah, you should be fine. We'll give you like a steroid shot or something, you know, to help with your immune system and you'll be able to travel and all this stuff. And then as it got closer, you know, I had booked we've got like 5 customers within 2 hours of you.
Nice.
I don't know if I've ever told you that, but if you haven't met these guys too, Brad Sosa from AVI Systems. Cool guy.
I know Brad. Oh, you know? Yep.
Oh, you know Brad?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah. They're LeaderBits customer.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then Darren from Animal Logic's pretty cool too. They make some of the cool movies, children's animated movies. But slowly everybody was like, well, you know, we're thinking about, you know, closing the office or something. We're like, okay. And like, oh, are you sure you want to come? And for me, it was awkward because I was like, you know, I don't want to like, I really want to see everybody, but I saw everyone kind of retracting. I was like, you know what? Let's not go. And then as it got closer, I have family and the government, and they were like, oh, there's probably going to be some airport closures. That's possible. And I was like, oh, well, I don't want to go and get like stuck over there. And then in like 2 days, everybody just shut down. And like California was like, we're not doing anything. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't go over there. And I'm so glad like that everything worked out the way it did because, I would not want to be stuck over there. Right.
It's not bad. I mean, it's not bad to be here, but you know, the reality you would have been one of the ones that we would have kind of slow played or been very like, I don't want to tell Joel no, because you know, honestly, it would be really good to see him. Like, immediately I could go and say, sales guys, quit bugging me. I'm not talking to you guys at all. Right. So there's the easy chopping block of people that it's like, I don't want to see these people anyways. And so I'm going to tell them I'm not meeting with anybody. Yours was one that we kind of waited. And I even remember dealing with your EA on it, thinking like, yeah, you know, it's I'm thinking about saying that this is not a good idea, but let's keep it open for now. And then it was, we'll still do it if you guys really want to come out here, but maybe it'd be better if we postpone it. So yeah, I was definitely looking forward to you coming out. Well, and we'll do it again.
But you're that
kind of personality. It's like, yeah, you know what? If someone's telling you no, not to come out, it's a definite no, because it means there's absolutely no option to have you come out.
Oh yeah. And I love the, and the reason why I talk about it right now with you is because I always like to, you know, you've got your internal state and you're like, I think Mike's being nice. I don't know if he wants to say, and I was like, but I also don't know. And it's like this area. And I'm like, I can't wait till we get to talk to like validate, like that we're both intelligently, like emotionally on the same wavelength. And
yeah,
it's just kind of like, we're cool with whatever, like, but yeah, it's just also, if you were like an average person and like, I would be like, nah, we're not going, but if I really like you, so like, dude, you gotta see Mike, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think back half of the year, everything will be chill and we'll all get, and we've had like, you know, I think it's like 70 of your people are going through the LeaderBit stuff and we see all their responses and engage with them, like Fabiana and our coaches and everything. I was like, oh, I can't wait to meet all these people in person. By the way, Fabiana has said, and this is like no bullshit, 100% true. She said that you, as one of our clients, have some of the best leaders, period. Like,
that's awesome. Like,
the responses she shows me, we do analysis of the challenge entries, reflective BA responses, and she shows me them and she's like, shows me how they think and like why she highlighted certain ones for me. And because we need to know like how people are responding to our content, that's how we improve our content. And yeah, I'm like, I look at some of the responses from some of your leaders, dude, you have a seriously good batch of people over there.
That's, you know, it's really good to hear. I kind of knew that because I, there's a lot of passion with a lot of our staff, but I get a lot of my managers that are sending me posts from new employees that are going through. And yeah, honestly, the LeaderBit stuff is starting to be a little bit infectious here. People are more and more people want to do it. And they're not just these little 1, 2, 3 word answers. People are literally spending time and spending more time than, you know, we had normally anticipated when we were talking about this. And I think it's fantastic. And now it's just kind of a staple. And honestly, my team was excited to meet you and to give feedback on stuff because they have a lot of idea. I mean, there's going to be a lot of ideas coming your way. We probably should continue that because I think my team has a lot of recommendations on things that LeaderBits could do for them.
Yeah, we just, so you know, very important, like the feedback we've gotten from you has directed the product 100%. You as a customer with all of your lead, like our top customers, right? Like,
awesome.
You're incredibly important to us because, like, you know, you really get to choose to do business with the people that you like. And we actually looked at our 2018, 2019 customer list, and we picked all, not just the customers that made us the most money, but the customers that we like doing business with the most. And the ones, like we said, okay, let's take the top 10 customers, the ones we want 100 more of. And then we've changed all of our marketing outreach and everything this past couple months at the beginning of the year to focus on essentially founders like you, Darren, Brad, like this profile we put together of these people. It's like the way you think. We looked at your LinkedIn profiles and your biographies because we're trying to really identify the human. We want more humans that are like you guys.
Yeah.
Because you're the best customers to work with. And so I thought that I thought you should know that.
I think every company should go through an exercise like that where they identify their ideal customer profile. I mean, we bounce that term around internally. We call it the ICP, but it's the ideal customer profile. And, you know, there may be some verticals that you are very aligned with and some verticals that you aren't so much, but But yeah, personal preference and just overall happiness is definitely a reason to work with somebody.
So let's do a quick recap.
Okay.
Right. You had a lot of people in person at your office. You also had remote teams, but you guys made the transition pretty smoothly, right?
I feel really good about it. I've seen just an amazing adoption.
Connecting on Slack, getting to know people's dogs, kids, pictures, socially coming together digitally. Quick tip that we found that Zoom was better than Slack for coming together because of the way the face is organized on the screen and the connection quality. Have you guys found that?
It's funny you bring that up because I installed the Zoom plugin on Slack and it's really neat. You can just push slash Zoom.
Oh, really? There's a plugin.
There's a Zoom plugin for it. It's really, really good. And you just do slash Zoom and you hit enter and you go into a channel or you go into with a group of people and push slash Zoom. And it gives them all the information with your Zoom credentials right then and there. And I did have some people on my team that said, you know, you could just do slash call and do a Slack call. But I found that the stability of Zoom and just the for lack of a better word, the intimacy of Zoom is better. And so we're using that, but we still bounce. There's some people where we use Hangouts. There's some people where we do Slack calls. What I find that it's more like if I want to do something one-to-one, Slack call works pretty well. I still do have some reliability issues. Hangout works pretty well for that. But Zoom is going to be one of those vendors that really helps carry us through this.
Yeah. Have I introduced you to Harry yet?
I don't think so.
I'm going to actively put in the back of my mind like an excuse to like, I'm going to talk with Harry some more. Have him back on again this year because you guys personality wise would like really hit it off.
Good.
Harry is a pretty cool dude. And then, so you've kept your team positive. You've communicated a lot. Everybody knows that like their job's safe. The company's going to do well. Things are going to continue to improve.
They do. In fact, I think that, we pioneered some of this customer data platform industry and we're very well funded. We've got 1,000 customers. We're a well capitalized business, but we've started a movement on understanding customer data and the value of that we've seen a lot of these other small companies come into our industry and try to do some of the things that we do. Not a great time to be a startup right now. You know, if you're not well funded, this is not a really great time to raise VC, in my opinion. And so I do think
it's definitely not. Everybody clammed up 100%. We were just about to close a round. Literally, we were like 30 days away from closing the round, and everyone's just like, whoop, pulled back.
Yeah.
And I said, this is why we focused the back half of last year on becoming break even.
Yeah.
And not growing too much because we're at break even right now. And which is, I think, is amazing for your first 2 years in business, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so we weren't dependent on the investor capital. So we got to set better terms and do it slower or at the speed we wanted. So the fact that everything clammed up and they're being transparent and everything with us, we're like, everybody stopped. But the fact that we put the company in that position and we worked really hard too in like October, November, December to get us there. But yeah, I'm so glad we took that step back and did that. And,
You got to raise money when you don't need it. And you never know when something, I mean, nobody expected this, but you never know when something like this is going to pop in. And so there are going to be, I mean, I'm keeping my eye on some of these small companies that are doing some pretty cool, innovative things. Cause I think there's going to be some fire sales coming in. There have to be. So in that sense, you know, we feel really good. I mean, we're conscientious about, we're doing a double and triple check on some expenditures that we do to make sure that we need them right now. Stuff that we had planned to do right now that could certainly wait for 60 days. Those things we're just looking at. We're just trying to be conscientious. I wouldn't say that we're necessarily slowing down our hiring plan, But again, our CEO has gotten into the loop to make sure that he's just now approving every hire and every job listing we do, just so he can stay in touch with it and keep an eye on it. So
just more attention. You just put more attention in some certain places.
Yeah.
Also, watch the talent, because what's going to happen is these startups are going to fire sale or crumble up, and you're going to want that extra cash to pull some of that top talent at a more reasonable rate.
They're all things that, you know, it's all opportunity for us to think innovatively around, you know, whether it be getting new talent, whether it be acquiring somebody, or whether it be just following, you know, prudent business practices to make sure that we're covered. We've got enough money in the bank to last for the next 2 years, so we can certainly ride this out very, very comfortably. So I feel good. But, you know, again, the culture and the passion and the sentiment of my employees is it's a new thing that I'm spending a lot more extra time on. I'm doing a lot more one-on-ones, and I'm just trying to be more of a person with my employees, and that works well for me. I think I'm a fairly likable guy.
You are. You definitely are. That's why when we were like, who do we have on? Like, definitely Mike. We should definitely have him. What sort of advice or insight would you have for, let's say, CTOs that are maybe a bit, let's go on one side of the spectrum here. Let's say like some newer CTOs, maybe they've got like 100+ people at their company. They're going through this and they're looking for someone who's got some more experience. Like, you know, where should they be focused? What should they be doing right now?
I think there's the positivity theme. I think you have to look at what the positives are of this. I'm staying focused on the idea that I get to be in my house. I get to spend a little bit more time with my dogs during the day. I am looking at the future, maybe 3 months or 6 months down the line, where maybe I will be able to work from home 1, 2, maybe even 3 days a week, maybe even a week at a time. You know, if I have contractors or things like that are coming in, I'm not going to feel like, I really want to be here in case they need me, but I just have to be in the office. So I'm really looking forward to establishing that technique and that skill of being able to work remote if I need to. That's one of them. I think the other thing is just, you know, it sounds obvious, but this concept of staying human, you know, don't get pissed off at your employees because a dog barks in the background. That stuff happens. Don't be pissed off because somebody's kid runs and asks their mom or dad a question about if they could have a juice box. This is life, right? And so embrace it, you know, and I think that's important. I think there are times where being on video is an important mandate to say, look, we want to see each other and we want to do it, but don't use it as a technique to say, hey, I want to make sure you're getting up and taking a shower and dressing for work. If someone says, look, I got to go off camera for a couple minutes, let them. It comes with the territory. And so I think to look on the, to try to put yourself in other people's shoes to understand what they're going through. I've got a great office that's nice and quiet here. I'm lucky. I'm blessed. I look at people and I see them. They're on their dining room tables because they don't have places like this to work. One of my guys, he's like, I have to work in my spare bedroom, and there wasn't enough room for me to set up a desk. So he panned over the left. The mattress was propped up against the wall just so he could work in there. And it's like, you know, man, I'm lucky, and I need to understand that not everybody is so lucky about that stuff. So you just got to be compassionate, and you just got to realize that everybody's got their jam, and you got to kind of let them have it.
And to add to that, like those people that do that, that's a story, that's a memory. And in 10 years, when they do have their office at home and things like that, they're going to remember, like, without struggle, like, there's no greatness without struggle. Like,
right.
It just
right.
doesn't right. exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're all at different points, but man, I love how articulate you are. I think that is some amazing insight and advice. Anything else you wanna get out there to the world?
Nah, you know, we're gonna get through this. I think we have to look at the greater good. I think as company leaders, you have to look at your company and your employees as a whole, and do things for their benefit. And I think just as humans and as Americans, we have to look at the country as a whole. And you know, if you're still going out to bars, if you're still going out to the beach, you know, you're kind of being an ass. And I think it's time to you know, drop a little of the narcissism and realize that, you know, the faster we make this go away is by working together. And you know, I look at people that are going out and still out in public, and I think, you know, if we had the tests and things like that, it'd be a much different story. But for every day that they're out there goofing off, it's 2 days that I got to be cooped up in this place. And I think it's just, I think it's fairly selfish, these people that are still going out. So I think this is a good time. I think as just humans, this has taught me I need to be more selfless. And I think that's what we need to do more of.
Yeah, I was pretty resistant to it at first because I like the gym. And I was like, damn it. Like, I want to go at the gym. But then I was like, you know what? I'm like, figure it out. Like, let's find these YouTube home workout videos. And I was on the phone last night. So I made 10 years ago. It's always interesting. Like, the friends you know way back then, they turn into people today, is like our county commissioner. Right.
Yeah.
It's actually, yeah. And so I was on the phone with him last night, and we live in what's like every other year we win best beach in the United States. Right. And it's spring break right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And all the kids are out of school that live in a beach town. And so what's happening is they're flooding the beach having parties because it's their spring break.
Yep.
And I was on the phone with him last night, and he's like, well, we had this interesting issue of trying to close the beach because it's never closed in history. So there's no gates. And we live in a beach town where there's like tens and tens of miles of like beach and like hundreds of these like little beach accesses, and they don't have gates. And like, what can you do? So they partnered with the construction side of the government. And last night, they dropped these cement construction barriers. They had trucks just dropping these cement construction barriers up and down the coastline to keep everyone out, to keep all the cars out of the parking lot because they don't have gates on these accesses. And he goes, the frustrating part about that is now all the kids that will still ignore that, they will park in like residential areas. And so what they had to do is they had to staff the lifeguards, because if people drown, it's like government issue, right?
Yeah.
So they're still staffing the lifeguards, but with a red no swim flag.
Yeah.
If you're not out in the water, staffing lifeguards and cement barriering everything, and then just dealing with the complaints from the residents of people parking. And he's like, that's all you can do, because you really can't like put a swarm of cops out there. Like, that gets a whole different mess. And so I was like, wow, it's such an interesting issue to have, because like everything you do, there's a reaction. But I'm excited for this to be over too, and I'm also excited for the increase, and in, like, it got everyone who was uncomfortable or on the edge with remote work understanding that with the right KPIs in place, with the right business indicators in place, you can let people work remote and from home, things get done.
And now that you are remote, people are thinking more about those KPIs and those efficiency indicators. And now I'm seeing a surge in some of my teams to say, you know, not only do I want my remote people to be efficient, but I want to put these five initiatives in place that will allow me to measure some of the efficiency. And so I think that's a smart way to go about it. I always think that companies need to look at their efficiency metrics and what I call reinspect the factory. This is a good opportunity for us to do that.
Dude, this is great. Well, I'll let you get, I know I already talked over your time that you had scheduled with us, but, I'll let you get the back half of this, 7 minutes left in the hour to do a hit workout or something.
But go.
Man, this is fantastic. And I always enjoy talking with you. And then, we'll plan, end of the year or something. We'll come back out, or as soon as we'll just wait until it's all
Yeah. And let's talk about, why don't you guys think about some geo-regional Leaderbits groups? Maybe let's do a virtual kind of summit with some of your Leaderbits customers.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
In the area. Yeah, let's do something like that.
All right, awesome. Yeah, we'll think about how to do that. And maybe we'll get some of your customers together, some of your leaders together, and we could just do some, we'll find a cool way to do some remote stuff.
Yeah, we'll just do a town hall kind of thing.
Done. See, yeah. that's why you're Mike. All right, buddy. Thank you so much. We're going to edit this up, and I think we're going to put it out this afternoon.
Send me the link. Stay safe, stay clean, wash your hands, be good. Talk soon,
buddy. Bye.
Bye.